Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Acts 7:30 to 60. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, the verses 30 to 60. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. This is the Moses who told the Israelites, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people." He was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living words to pass on to us. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and reveled in what their own hands had made. But God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, moon, and stars. These agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. "Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings for 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have taken up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Rephan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon." Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law with them in the wilderness. It had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it." When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he said this, he fell asleep. My theme for reflection is, when stones fall, mercy rises. When stones fall, mercy rises. Some people say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, might have disagreed. After all, both were thrown at him, accusations and actual stones. Yet, in the face of it all, he responded not with bitterness, but with a prayer that shocks the conscience. Quote, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Now, that is not just resilience, that is resurrection power at work in the human heart. Stephen's story in Acts 7:30-60 is anything but tame. It begins with him defending himself against serious charges, blasphemy against God, Moses, and the temple. But instead of offering a conventional defense, Stephen gives a sweeping history lesson, reminding his accusers of Israel's repeated rejection of God's deliverers, Joseph, Moses, and the prophets. His point is piercing. This was not just about him or even about Jesus. This was a generational pattern of resisting the truth and silencing those who brought it. The core problem Stephen exposes is not simply disobedience, but spiritual deafness, a refusal to listen to God's voice, even when it comes wrapped in mercy. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears," he says, verse 51. The issue was not that they did not know the scriptures. It is that they refused to be changed by them. Their loyalty to tradition had hardened into idolatry, blinding them to the presence of the very God they claimed to worship. And yet, the miracle of this passage is not only in Stephen's bold confrontation of sin, but in his astonishing response to violence. As the stones fly, Stephen doesn't scream for vengeance. He sees Jesus, literally. "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." In Jewish tradition, to stand was to act. Jesus, the enthroned Lord, is rising to welcome his servant and bear witness to Stephen's suffering. What transforms this tragedy into triumph is forgiveness. Like Jesus on the cross, Stephen's final words are not of anger, but intercession. He pleads for mercy for his murderers. This is not human strength, it is divine grace poured out. As Miroslav Volf writes, "Forgiveness flounders because I exclude the enemy from the community of humans, and I exclude myself from the community of sinners." But Stephen includes both. He sees his killers not just as enemies, but as people in need of mercy, the very mercy he received. And that brings us to us. Most of us won't face literal stones for our faith, but many carry the heavy weight of injustice, betrayal, or wounds that feel unforgivable. We want to move on, but not without making others pay. Yet the path of Stephen is the path of Christ. Lay down the right to vengeance and pick up the calling of radical grace. Forgiveness does not mean pretending nothing happened. It means choosing not to let bitterness define us or destroy others. It is not easy, but it is possible, and it is powerful. As with 45, the ex-convict who forgave the man who cost him 25 years of life, forgiveness opens prison doors, not just for the offender, but for the one who forgives. Stephen's story challenges every Christian today. What are you willing to risk for the truth? And more challengingly, are you willing to forgive even when the cost is high? There are two questions for reflection. Number one, is there someone in your life you need to forgive? Not because they deserve it, but because you have been forgiven. Number two, what stones have you faced? Words, actions, injustices that God may be calling you to respond to with grace. And now our practical exercise. Take time today to write a letter of forgiveness, whether you send it or not. Pour out your heart before God, naming the pain and asking Him to help you release the burden. Then pray for the person who hurt you, even if it is hard. That is how mercy begins. Lord Jesus, you stood to welcome Stephen, and you stand with us in our suffering. Help us to see as he saw, to speak as he spoke, and to forgive as you forgave. We confess our need for your strength to release bitterness, to love our enemies, and to live as witnesses of your mercy. Fill us with your Spirit and teach us to walk in the freedom of forgiveness. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.